So this morning I'm going to be wrapping up a series that we've been on since the beginning of the year, and we've called it an interesting name, calling it Scavengers. But in reality, Scavenger is a great name because we're actually looking, and if you look at the definitions we put up previously, we're actually looking, we're looking at the definition that a person who searches for and collects discarded items. We're looking for people who have been discarded from all kinds of life. We are people who are scavenging, meaning that we're hunting and we're on a quest and we're pursuit of and we're seeking after the people who are lost and that the Lord has guided us to for that process. In review, we understand that the services we've had up to this point and the truth that we've looked at, it helps us to be reminded that we are scavengers with God. We are called to search for those who are outcasts, those who are discards from perfection. In other words, if you know anybody that's not living a perfect life, they need help. And so just bear with me if you wondered, you know, who are these people that we're looking for? It's anybody. Anybody who feels like they're destined for ruin, or anybody who feels like their life is full of misery and not the way it should be and not the way they would normally have planned, but a life that needs some brightening up, a life that needs the light of God that is our Creator, who created the very sunlight that we are in every single day. Even in the wintertime, we can't see it. We're in it, right? So I'm just kind of giving you a heads up there. Even though it may look gloomy out there, but sun's up somewhere, right? And it's shining through the clouds. So we find the people who are trapped in their sinful, selfish nature within a corrupt world. Just basically put. We are scavengers. We are in the midst of an opportunity where we can find ourselves working with God. We are on God's team. We are in God's team. We are on a scavenger hunt with God. And if you've ever done those things as a youth or been involved as guiding some scavenger hunts, you put people out sometimes in teams, and they are to make a list of things and check them off as they go around and try to find them. And that is the scavenger issue of being a person of faith who is looking for those people who have been discarded, those people who aren't part of the process of God's great love and His design for happiness and His design for purpose. People who just haven't found themselves yet in God. So, as the scavenger, we've been given a list that's a biblical list. It's a list that says we are ambassadors, we are to be fruit bearers, we are to be teaching, and we are to be sharing our faith, and we are to be loving people into the kingdom. We're to be wrapping our arms around people who just need to know that God loves them, and we are the face of God. So we've got this checklist, and we're looking for those who need those things and checking them off in this great scavenger hunt. We are a team, and this team is a team of God's. He has invited you, Mount Pleasant. He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's right. He has invited you. God has sent you a specific and personal invitation. He has spelled it out in the words of His Son. All who are welcome, I am lifted up so that you can come to me. Jesus died for the whole world, for God loved the whole world so much that He sent the message through Jesus Christ about how much He loves us. He demonstrated that through the very process of giving Himself up. We are the representatives of that because we have lived that. We have gone through the process. We have discovered that we're not everything we need to be without God. Let me offer this to you, that if we are in this partnership with God, then we ought to know that with God, we are already ready. We are already ready. Mount Pleasant, you are in the position to do something. Let's look at this passage together. Through Him, that is Christ, God has enriched your church in every way. This is a message that Scripture that's been written through the Holy Spirit into the hands of Paul, the apostle, who was a preacher, who was one who was also a missionary and gone to several places and established churches and put leadership in places and checked in on them. And he's checking in on this church in Corinth that he planted. And he was telling them, it's because of your relationship with Jesus, because you identify with Jesus, that your church, being established by people who had given themselves up to the Lord, and everyone who loves God and has made a profession of faith or defined their personal life in the life of Christ, then your church has been enriched in every way. Now you have every spiritual gift you need. I'll just stop there just for a minute. Now, I'd like to do a poll if I could, but it's not going to do me any good to do that, but it will do something good for you. So I'm going to ask you to do this in your quiet thoughts to respond to this. If God has enriched the church, which would encompass any church that is teaching Scripture on a mission to save the world, to bring Christ into the hearts and lives of people so that the kingdom of God can be found in each person. If we are surrendered to that, if we are Christ's children and we are assembled together, we are an assembly of God. That is a church. So God has enriched this church in every possible way. Every single spiritual gift that this church needs to go forward has already been dispensed. Now, some of us in the room are thinking, good, then I don't have to do anything. But that's the wrong message. That is the wrong message that I did not want to give you. What I want you to know is that God has purposed something in every soul. Every person who is a believer has been identified with the giftedness of God because you have indwelled in you a spirit that is one that is attached to your own, the Holy Spirit of God. And He is there and He is promoting all the teachings of Christ. He is pleading on your behalf to be involved in the great work of the kingdom. For God reconciled the world to Himself through Christ Jesus. And He dispensed the ministry of reconciliation to us so that we might be His ambassadors. That is all-inclusive. No one's left out. Now, some of those gifts are different. You can read through and just remember chapter 12 and look at 1 Corinthians and Romans. And go to chapter 12 in both of those books and you'll find a laying out of some of the gifts that are labeled in Scripture that the church should possess. You can go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and following. You'll find that there are some primary gifts listed there that a church needs in leadership. But in those passages, you'll find that these are the gifts that keep the wheels moving, that keep the mission on track, that actually make us identify more with Jesus than anything that we could ever do, if those gifts are implanted. Now, if you're a believer and you're thinking that you have nothing to do because we just heard the word that says we've got every gift in this church that's needed, but that is including you. And if the church is not doing something, it's because somebody who possesses one of those gifts hasn't stood up yet, hasn't said yes to it yet, hasn't acknowledged that they have within them the power to proceed against their own fear. I wrote this lyric down because I knew I'd forget it. The lyric we just sang in the song that was The Way, the Truth, and the Life. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too. When I first sang that, I was closing my eyes and I sang the wrong thing. I said, all my fears and doubts, they can all come true. They can all come true. That's not really what it's supposed to say. So I wrote it down and I thought, you know, that's us. That's us, because when we think about it, we can't give up the fears and doubts very easily. The things that are trapping us and keeping us from being part of this special thing. We are ready. We just haven't launched every gift yet. Because the gifts we're missing, for those who aren't plugged in and moving and active, we're missing yours. It's very much needed in order for the wholeness of the body to be doing everything that we could be doing. Now take a look at this next phrase. He will keep you strong to the end. Jesus said, we will be one. There is an attachment that Jesus wanted, a relationship that he wanted with us. And he's praying to the Father in John 17. He says, Father, I pray that we will be one as you and I are one. As Jesus and God are connected, we know that's a bond that is, Jesus is God. And Jesus was promoting in prayer the power of God's work, that we as believers could be one with Jesus. We will all be one. Jesus said, I will come to you. Jesus said, I will never leave you alone. I'll never forsake you. You'll never be alone like someone, an orphan who has no hope or no family or no strength anywhere else in a storm. I'll not leave you like that. I will be with you until the end of the age, he told the disciples when he dispersed them. Journey's yours now. So he gathered them all together. That passage is pretty interesting out of Matthew 28 when he said, go therefore into all the world. And at the end of that passage, he says, and I'll be with you to the end of the world. So he gathered the disciples together and he's talking to them. And can you imagine this little, it's kind of like what we are this morning. I got a job for you guys. And I want you to do everything in your power. I want you to plug everything you can together. I want you to pool together all your resources, mind, heart, body, soul, material, everything together. And I want you to come together as a believing body. And I want you to do something for me. I want you to go everywhere you can. And there's no limitations. I want you to go to the ends of the earth. We got to start at home, though. We got to start where we are. And then we're going to bleed out. And we're going to move beyond the borders of our community and of our state and our province, and we're going to move beyond the borders of our country. We're going to move beyond the borders of whatever oceans are barriers to where we need to go. And I want you to do this. I want you to make disciples, baptize them. In other words, solidify their decision. I want you to make disciples, people who are willing to follow the teachings of God. Give them what they need. You take a close examination of what's happening in our church. We have a lot of things going on. We have teachers, we have coaches, we have people who are leading those kinds of teams. We have a praise team that is doing their thing. We have preaching, and we have caregivers. We have people who are taking meals to people. We have those who are working inside of our clothing bank and our food bank. And we have mission team that comes together and thinks about how they're going to move into the world with gifts that will support those in mission work. And we've just got teams put together all over our church, and we need help with every single one of those and even more. We do events all through the year that establish our purpose and bring people together in a lively sense. I love the fact, and this is just highlighted to me because we just came off of this last summer, the carnival we had in August. We didn't count. Someone said we had 400 or so there, and I know we had 500, but I'm saying 600. And because there were so many people, and that's the truth, we had so many people come and go, and I didn't get to greet everybody, but it was just so good to look out over the property of this 7-acre piece of land that God has given to our church, and to be able to use it all for the glory of God and put so many things in place that we could be about the mission work in that moment. Now, we weren't, we were taking names, but we weren't browbeating them with the gospel. But we were loving them. We were giving ourselves. We were encouraging. We were inviting. And people rallied around that. People were excited to bring their kids to that. The schools even helped us out. So we were enabling some secular organization to help us to get the word out. God just enabled so many things. So when I think about that meeting that Jesus had in the Great Commission when he was sending them out, and he told them, I'm going to be with you. It wasn't like he's saying, now get out, go on. And you know, if you have any trouble, then, you know, text me, I might be available. No. There's no texting with God. There's no emailing with God. Those are nonverbal. You can't get a sense of tone. You can't get a feel for what's really being said, how it's being said. Jesus said, I will be there with you. To the end. To the end. We're ready. He will keep you strong to the end. So whatever you're doing, you won't be disappointed. And you might have questions, but it'll take him in the journey. He wants to take you in the journey long enough to help you develop the place and time when you are going to seek him out the very most. You'll be on your knees, you'll be humbled before him, and then he says, aha, I got you. Right where I want you. And this is what I want you to remember. Have you ever been in that place? Hopefully you have. Because if you haven't, that's part of the process. We are ready because of these promises. And so if you look at this last phrase, you see that God will do this because he said he would. And if you want to test the faithfulness of God, this is a great place to do it. Even in this great diversity of gifts that we already have, God will be the one. He will be the one. He will be the one. The only source to everybody. I want to take you to this next slide. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but we have the same Spirit. We have the same Lord. We have the same God. If you read this passage of Scripture, you'll find there is the word used is one. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts that each of us will have some of. We used to do an inventory of spiritual gifts years ago, and it gave you a category of being able to not only decide what your main gift is, but subsequent gifts too. Like if you scored high in other gifts, you were able to list five of them to get an idea where God is gifted you and where you could be useful inside of those gifts. And all those gifts are great, are just extremely different. You think about it, you know, I have the gift of watching football, and that's just something we never ever think about. But, you know, it's just interesting that God has dispensed so many gifts, because during the football game, I'm praying, and that makes it a spiritual gift, right? Anyway, so if you have a sense that you have a gift or a talent and you're using it at work or you're using it at home and you think about, I don't know if this is something that God has gifted me with or not. I'm just do it and I found comfortable with it. I'd say, yeah, it's probably a gift. I'd say it's probably something you can utilize for God. Now, the gift may be hidden deep inside of what you're doing and it may be described differently. And what we find when we take those inventories over a period of time, you can take one now and then 5 years later, you can take another one and they kind of look a little different. And they look different because you're growing in Christ. You're becoming different. And you're finding that this gift you thought you had is being fine-tuned into something more specific. You put a general category out there, but you found that it's more specific. Like football. I pray during football. But what I find myself doing is praying during football. It's not anything to do with football. I'm praying because I got a relationship with God. And while God may be up there doing this, really, John? Football? But I have a relationship with Him. So if when I grow up in this, eventually, honey, I will grow up. But when I grow up in this, eventually I'll see that it's my prayer life that's more important than anything else. And my prayers go up for people that have great need. My prayers go up for our family. My prayers go up for all kinds of things. So prayer may be the big thing that God is shaping in my life. I'm using me as an example. I know there are several of us that are looking at our life and we're thinking, I have no idea how God has put me together. Well, I'm going to ask you to do this. If you have an idea of something that really makes you excited to do, and the church has a place for you to do that, plug in. Because in that gift, you'll find that you've either got an affirmation that you're going to be encouraged, and you'll find some things that are pleasurable, things that you find that you can make some, you have some meaning and value in doing those things, and that will help you step into the next place of whatever God's doing for you. It may be the thing. Maybe your journey is complete right there, but always know that the closer you get to God, the more you look like Jesus. The closer you get in your relationship with Jesus, the more people are going to see Him in you. And the more people see Him in you, the more they're going to understand about their own life. Because if God can save a guy like me, who in high school was voted most likely to succeed as a city slicker, and that's the truth, no one would have ever thought I'd have been a preacher. And if my friends in Rushville could look at my life and say, really, that's possible? Then their lives might have possibility in their own minds. That's the promise of God's work. There's no browbeating involved in everything you do for Christ. That's my job. I get to do that up here. You guys get the benefit of listening to this browbeating stuff. That's really not my style. But if we are all one in Christ, and we have the same Spirit, each of us, no matter our difference in the gift, no matter what different path we're taking, if we've got the same Spirit, we've got God who is in charge, the Lord, over our lives, and we've got the same God that's working for all things, the Creator of the universe, and He's pouring out His love through Christ into our lives, then we are ready. But I got a warning for you. Be aware. Be aware. Don't think you are better than you really are. It's a measure of humility, really. Measure yourselves by the faith God has given us, not by results, not by things you've actually done. I mean, we're on a track in this world. Because it's hard for us to process it this way. Because in our world, our system of economy in this world is the more you do, the more visible you are, the more likes you get, or the more comments that you gain in your things that you put on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you're work or wherever you're out there in social media, then we have that idea, that image, that the more we get, the better we are at it. We also think because we work hard at our jobs and we get promotions for that we're being boosted. We're being affirmed. We're raised up another level. We're given this higher plateau, which is good, and those things are all good to achieve, to do better in our jobs and all those things. But we plug that into the spiritual life too. We think the more we do for God, the more points we can get for God, the better I'm going to be off in heaven, right? The more people God is going to give me in heaven that'll be praising me while I'm there. That's not how it works. Because if God is at work in us, and we have this sense that we are doing so much And if we don't give God the credit, then we have missed the opportunity. The scripture that we have reminds us that in experience, those who have worked for God back in the days when the Bible was being written indicate that we should acknowledge God in all things. Acknowledge God in everything. You know, that A, that one A I got when I was going to Purdue, that was not me. You know, one time that I preached and I really was swinging it, I knocked it out of the park, that was not me. The afternoon or the morning that I spent over at Ruth Blackburn's house this week, and we talked about her spiritual life, and she bowed in prayer and said, "Lord, forgive me, and Lord, give me a sense of reality with my faith, renew my faith in you." That was not me. That was God. So whatever I'm doing, I have to back off. This, I'm not in it for me. We've got to see it, that this warning, this thing that we're in this world is because we're made to get accolades. We need accolades. We need affirmation. We need promoted. We need affirmed. And God's going to do the affirmation with us. God's going to give us a sense that you have done something fulfilling. You have done what I've told you to do. I got a real good friend. This is a ministry. I've never heard him ever. He's been to some of my sermons. Never heard him ever. And my spiritual gift, or not my spiritual gift, my love language is affirmation. And that's, I got to learn how to take that. So when my friend, when he comes and he's ever heard me preach, he's never once said anything about my message. Never once. And I kind of look to him like, "Hey, you know, what'd you think?" And, you know, of course, when I ask, well, I've never asked him that, but when I'm thinking that, you know what I want? I want a little boost. You know, I want him to say, "Man, John, you got it going, brother." That's not what God wants. And you know why he's not said anything? It's because he's being obedient to God. Because God knows what I'm looking for. You know, Ellen's put in a bad position because she's my cheerleader. And she does a great job at that. And God has given me people in my life that says, you know, the truth to me. And the truth is what I need to hear. My job isn't to get affirmation. My job is to get the word out and to do it clearly, plainly. So I suppose if I ever talked to this friend of mine, he would say, "You know what? It's not my job. It's not my job." And if you're doing your job, John, then what else are you supposed to do? So I suppose if I were going to give another pastor some encouragement, I would say, "You did your job this morning. You did what you were supposed to do this morning." Not that, "Hey man, you did it. You were on it, man. You were right there. I could sense, man, you were really in it, and I appreciated what you were doing. I appreciated the tone." And nah, John, you did your job. So, warning. Be careful. We get trapped in this. Measure everything by our faith that God's given us. Best possible thing we could get. You're going to be sent to new places. You'll see new kinds of people when you get involved with God's work. You'll be a representative of God to each one of them. You're doing your job. It'll be exciting, it'll be fulfilling, it'll be rewarding. And most of all, we will be adding to the kingdom if everything's done right. Here is one job that perhaps we've never thought about. Because when we think about doing our work for God or getting involved in our ministry. We think about all the things that we can't do. You know, I can't really be in the room with somebody who's angry at God. I don't know how to handle that. That's not me. I'm just giving you an illustration. I think I can handle that pretty well. I also think sometimes we think there are a lot of things that I can't do, people that I can't reach because I don't have those skills. And yet, if we're ambassadors, and this is kind of a promo for the series coming starting next week, the questions we have, God's going to use something you're doing in every single path. Look at this passage of Scripture. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all trouble so we can comfort others with the same comfort that God has given us. You see the job? I mean, right there, that's the will of God has been pointed out. You want to know what the will of God is? By the comfort that you've been given. By the way, all of you, who has not suffered yet in this world? Thank you for not raising your hand. We've all suffered. We've all needed comfort. And God is the one doing the comforting. And when we've received that comfort, at the end of that comfort period, we know there's something we can give back then to the community. I was talking to Linda Davis in the hospital, and she was talking about even the struggles she's going through and the things that the places that in the hospital she was going, and people who are going through what she was, after having suffered a stroke, what she was experiencing. She met a lot of people like her, but she had such high spirit about how she's gaining ground. She said, when I finish this, when I get to a point, I can use this to help other people get back on track, to give them kind of a boost, a lift. And I thought, that's it. That's it. Where have you been hurt? Let me ask you this. If you think you've never been able to minister to homeless, let me ask you, have you ever been cold? How miserable is that? Have you ever had wet socks on and you couldn't get to a place where you can get dry socks just yet? Isn't that miserable? You ever been walking in the blowing, drifting snow and wondering, I can't wait to get home? Have you ever thought of yourself as being hungry at any point in time? I know we use that a lot. Man, I'm starving. Have you ever felt like your stomach just needed something in it, and you got to have something to eat? Maybe you're, I don't know if it's hyperglycemic or hypoglycemic, but when you feel shaky and you need some sugar. You ever been in a position where you just had to lay your head down, you needed some rest, and you just can't get any rest? Then you can relate, and all those things, you can relate to the homeless. You know how to pray to the homeless. And you know how to help the homeless. And if that's one place that God is drawing you in right now, then you can get involved in that. But I'm telling you, we will approach the world like God has approached us. And if you think, man, I've never been homeless. I don't know how to minister to homeless. I've never been an alcoholic. I don't know how to minister to alcoholics. Have you ever been trapped in anything? Something that you just can't get out of, you know you shouldn't be there, but it's trapped you because you're addicted to it. I don't know if it's TV, I don't know if it's internet, if it's something to do with a relationship, you're addicted to something. If you've ever been controlled by a person or a substance, you can relate to an alcoholic. We limit ourselves because we don't see the opportunities. God has blessed you with a victory. And that victory is worth sharing. Father, I pray today that you would help us to wrap these things in our minds. Give us the comfort and the hope and the peace of knowing that we can be your children in every way, everywhere we go. Father, we need you right now. We need to be excited, encouraged, motivated to be on a scavenger hunt, looking for those who need something. Because you found me, you found us, and you've taken me places I never knew I could go. You've gotten us out of prison. You've gotten us out of the cold. You've put clothes on our back. You've enabled a meal to be put in front of us. You've given us release from these addictions of life. You've put us in relationships that are healthy. You've taken us out of toxic ones. You've given us opportunity, Father, in all those ways we can relate to so many people. We are your ambassadors. We pray that we would act like it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Please sing this closing hymn, or closing song, and we will. I'll be here to help you if you have a need. And if there's something someone else you'd rather talk to, or if you want to wait till after service, the Next Steps table is available. You can go and just kind of get some information, be pointed in the right direction. As this song is sung, though, ask yourself the question, am I plugged in to God's work? He's ready. The question is, are we ready? Let's go. Let's go.
Hold me now in the hands that created the heaven. Find me now where your grace runs as deep as your scars. You pulled me from the clay. You set me on a rock. You called me.